actually changing the podcast.
Easy now. Welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Francis Dean. Hi.
Just a big pause there. Fucking
such a professional.
Episode 230. Guest Nick Helm, all the way from
230.
Yeah, 230, man. Where are you currently in the world, Nick?
I'm in London, England.
Nice. You've got a lovely backdrop. I'd say probably the best backdrop of anyone we've had in recent memory.
I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I'm in my little spare room office thing.
And, nice.
I'm only in here because they're like hammering and drilling in my living room. They're not in my living room. They're next door to my living room.
Yeah.
So,
let's quickly run through the pictures behind you. Let's just do a... Can I ask, over your right shoulder, is that Pamela Anderson in the bottom? Is that a signed Pamela Anderson picture?
It's not a real signed Pamela Anderson picture.
Oh, right,
okay. When I was living in my other flat, I had a signed picture of Kiss and a signed picture of David Spade. And I had them in my downstairs toilet. And I think I had OCD and I had to buy a lot of other signed pictures to put them in my toilet. And
so they were symmetrical.
No, I like literally covered the entire wall with like these like fake signed pictures. I had two actual genuinely signed pictures and then the rest were just all bollocks. I think I was trying to make my toilet look like Planet Hollywood.
Yes.
And, you know, like you do.
For those nice long shits.
Ugh. Absolutely, yeah. And then you're like, oh, I finally made it. I'm finally in Hollywood.
So what have you got? You've got Pamela Anderson. You've got a comic one above it. Above that, you've got a RoboCop picture, I've
got Paul Verhoeven talking to RoboCop.
Yep.
And then I've got... I mean,
who's that bottom one there?
I'm not proud of this. This is Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah.
This is a yellow.
I'm not proud of that. Caddyshack's a great film.
Sure, but they're not real.
Oh, yes, but you're not proud of that. You basically just printed a picture out of the internet and put it on your wall.
Yeah. I basically spent £10 on a picture printed off the internet.
And is that another Caddyshack at the top?
No, that's Adam Sandler in Happy Gilmore, but I do realise I've made the terrible mistake of having two golf comedies on one wall.
Yeah.
It's a bit off.
Have you heard they're doing a sequel to Happy Gilmore?
No, I was so excited. Me and James Gill are both really big Adam Sandler fans, and as soon as I found out, I just messaged him. But yeah, I love Happy Gilmore.
I love it. I've got, I play a bit of golf. I've got Happy Gilmore ball markers for when you're on the green and you've got to pick your ball up.
What do they look like?
Space. One's got just a picture of Shooter McGavin. The other one's got a picture of Carl Weathers just saying, just tap it in. Like that. It's just like, they're lovely little things.
That's so cool. I love it so much. Yeah.
What's a ball marker?
Like, so when you're playing golf, when you get onto the green, obviously imagine if there's two or three or four of you
left
playing.
And right.
You have to, like, if you imagine your ball is nearly in someone's line and they're about to take their putt, you want to move your ball away
so don't get knocked out of the way.
Yeah, and so you just put a little marker down and you pick it up. So, you know,
that makes sense.
Have you seen Happy Gilmore, Julian? I've got a feeling like your film knowledge is real.
I've not seen Lion King or Edward Scissorhands. Someone was surprised at yesterday.
I mean, that both of them are surprising, but that also wasn't the film we actually mentioned in the question.
I have seen Happy Gilmore. I don't know it as well as I know, like, Beverly Hills Cop or anything like that.
So you're Your answer to Happy Gilmore. Have you seen Happy Gilmore? Is I haven't seen Edward Scissorhands and the Lion King. But have you seen Happy Gilmore? Absolutely, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just
So you haven't seen
but
Edward Scissorhands? I mean, that's a pretty seminal film of like, we're all sort of a similar-ish age. Like, how have you not seen Edward Scissorhands? Lion King, I'd get,
hard to
because
know.
when that came out, we'd have probably been sort of 16 or something, and like, it'd be, why would you be watching a Disney film at that age?
It
But
was
like,
my daughter that couldn't believe that I'd not seen Edward Scissorhands, and she just wouldn't let it go. I will watch it one day. Probably not. I watched the Johnny Depp trial, which was good.
That's a bit like The Lion King.
That's the same. I think that was the sequel, wasn't
I
it?
went to see a Edward Scissorhands ballet. The is it Matthew
I saw
Vaughan?
that.
Who's the guy that does that did the Swan Lake, all male Swan Lake? Yeah, I saw the Edward Scissorhands ballet. It was
Matthew Bourne.
amazing. Matthew
Matthew
Vaughan.
Bourne.
Who
Didn't
did I
Matthew
say?
Ma
Did I say
Matthew
Mike
Bourne?
Matthew Bo Vaughan?
I thought you
Who's
said
that?
Matthew Bourne. Well, he
Biff
directed
Vaughan.
Layer Cake.
Oh yeah, I'm
Look,
thinking
I've
of,
seen
not him, I'm
Layer
thinking
Cake
of Matthew
actually, yeah.
Vaughan.
Matthew Bourne, he did Layer Cake and then he did the Edward Scissorhands ballet. So,
Yeah, that ballet was great.
oh right, yeah, okay, sure.
I might not watch, put that on the list though.
What
I
ballet?
think we watched
Have you ever been
different
to an
things.
opera? Have you been to an opera, Julian?
I went to an opera once. My dad got me tickets, and it was 4 hours long in the Coliseum in London. Is it the Coliseum? And it wasn't in English, and we didn't have a program. And I did an hour and then left and went to the cinema, Leicester Square.
I get out of everyone I know, like in terms of attention span for something like that, you'd definitely be
Oh, it
in the
was.
bottom 1% of
I didn't even pay
max.
attention for that hour. Like, it was just ridiculous.
You didn't even get to the interval.
No, I bailed.
So you got like what? Like halfway through the first half, you were just like, I'm leaving. And
I
then
didn't
everyone
know what was going
went.
on. It's in Italian or something, isn't it? Or some
Yeah,
opera.
they do tend to be.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that the thing? All operas are Italian?
No.
No, there are operas written
No.
in another language, but I think I presume they that was where they started. I don't know. That's an assumption they came, like that's where they sort of
Yeah.
were. They blew up. That's where they
I
had
mean,
their
I couldn't think of
heyday.
anything. I just didn't connect with it, engage with it. I try. I mean, I tried
Yeah.
opening up
What
my
was
little
it?
brain.
Do you remember what it was called, Julian?
It was called. No, I don't. There's no way I'd remember.
That's a long
It was
name
called
for
Grease 2.
an opera. Yeah, like yeah. What's the longest film you've watched that you can remember, Julian?
I mean, I've watched when I was a kid. I watched. Do you remember Once Upon a Time in America?
Oh right, yeah.
I mean, that's an incredible film,
It
man.
is. But I
I've
mean, like
never
in
seen.
terms of that recently, like
You've
whenever
never
we talk
seen
about
it?
films. You always say like you can't you say you struggle to watch a film in one go. Like, so what's the last
I'm
long
getting a
film you
little bit
watched?
better, yeah. But I mean, that's over. That's 3 or 4 hours long, that one.
Have
I
you
mean, I
watched
couldn't
Killers of the
do that
Flower Moon? Have
now,
you
though.
seen
Yeah,
that,
I think
Nick? Have you
it's.
seen Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yeah, I watched it twice in 1 week, which was too much. It was too
That's a
much.
lot. Yeah.
How come all of these things I don't even hear about? How can you both have seen that? I've not even heard of it.
Probably because your
It's sort of
internet
like
algorithm is just grot and fighting. So I think we've got
grot
different.
fighting and red pill debates.
So, if you don't go to the cinema, you don't get trailers for what's coming out, do you?
Oh, yeah.
True.
So that's how we keep sort of like our ear to the ground
Yeah.
because
But I don't get
we
to
go.
go to the cinema a lot because I've got a toddler, but I still sort of follow films enough to know. When there's a big, especially when there's a film of somebody has made that I really like what they do, like, so I think, yeah. But I'd be
Do
interested
you
to see
go
how
to the
you get
cinema
on with it.
on your own, Nick, sometimes?
Do I go to the cinema on my? Yeah, well, sometimes, yeah, but like, yeah, but sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't go to the cinema yet.
Sometimes, yeah, that's like the three options, isn't it? It's like go to the cinema with someone, go to the cinema on your own or don't go.
Do you not
So it's
prefer
always
going? I
one of
prefer going on my own. I think going to the
them.
cinema on your own is the best of the options of going to the cinema.
I've been a couple of times when I was away gigging, like, and you know, when you first start gigging away and like you kind of see the town a bit, like, man, I don't do that anymore.
Oh, right, yeah. Like, yeah, I think I was in Lincolnshire. This is ages ago. I went to see the it was I had my guitar and I went to see The Adventures of Tintin, and then I went to see Tower Heist because I was there for such a long time.
Tower Heist, fuck.
Yeah. And they were both terrible films, and then they wouldn't let me take my guitar into the cinema because I think they thought I was going to start playing it. And so I had to sort of give it to someone. And then I went and did a gig, and then I died on my ass. And then it was just like,
Oh,
whoa,
God.
a waste of a fucking day.
Yeah. It's
Tower Heist was the low point.
that's dog shit. Is that the one that's got
Even worse than the bad gig.
is it Ben Stiller, Tower Heist? Is that the one
Yeah,
I'm thinking of? Yeah,
absolutely.
it's fucking
Yeah, it's Ben
shit.
Stiller and Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy came back to do comedy, and it was an absolute piece of dog shit.
Yeah,
It's a shame when
bad.
they do that, man.
Yeah.
They just get the actors, these great cast, like legends, and then just quickly write a film about,
I
like,
know.
around them, and it's never good.
No. I have you has any of any either of you watched Shogun? That's that big new Disney show.
No, I've seen Showgirls.
Do you know what? That's what
Terrible
I thought you
film.
were going to say.
That is a
Yeah.
dreadful film.
Showgirls.
It ruined that girl's career out of what was she out of
She is
again?
from Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell, yeah. It kind of messed her career up a bit.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it sort of became a parody. It almost became on them like novelty films, isn't it? Like The Room, where people would like sort of have screenings of it, like so everyone could sort of sit around and laugh. It's
It's so
such
bad.
rude.
It's like my Edinburgh show.
I think some of it's deliberate, right? It's meant to be like a parody.
Yes, I think
I
you know
don't think
if.
Showgirls was, though, was it?
But I mean,
Unless the.
it's a Paul Verhoeven film, so like that's his sort of vibe, isn't it? He does sort of like,
It was like saying, like, this is like the American dream. Like, it's
yeah.
like, it was like 42nd Street, where it's about like going to, it's either like going to Broadway or going to, like Hollywood to follow your dreams. But, you know, her dreams are to sort of get naked for money.
It's my dreams. Yet
But
to
yeah,
be paid.
but anyway, but just as quick as I've started watching this Shogun. It's a big period sort of Japanese set in like Japan in like the 1500s, and it's
Sounds
everything about
boring.
it's really good, apart from the
Boring.
fact there's one actor in it, and like he's good, but it feels like he's just doing a Tom Hardy impression. The one sort of English actor in it, and the rest of them are Japanese, and it's hard to watch. Every time he's on screen, it feels like you're watching somebody do a Tom Hardy impression, and it's
So it's
hard to
in
get past
Japanese, is
it.
it?
It's all in Japanese, yeah. There are subtitles,
Does that make it hard to watch?
mate. You're like a fucking
Google.
7-year-old.
Google Translate.
Oh God. But
I
yeah, so
watched a
it's
fucking good. What did I watch? What's it called? Dark on Netflix.
what's
It's a
that?
series.
Oh, I've
It's
heard about this. Is it German?
good. Yeah, it's dubbed over. Well, you might be able to get subtitles. I always fucking. I even have a read name. But like, you can choose to. It's a bit like Stranger Things that I've never
Yeah,
seen.
I've heard it's very
It's
good,
that.
actually.
It's good though. It is good.
Not that we're
Yeah,
just going to just
that's
talk
my
about things we're
review.
watching currently, but I watched the first four episodes the last few days of Baby Reindeer, which
Oh
is
yeah. Oh
fucking
right, yeah.
excellent, you know. And if anyone sort of ha saw the live shows that Richard Gadd did that it covers, then you're
I
like
never
they
saw
were
him, no.
amazing. And he somehow has turned that into like a 7-part Netflix drama, and it is. I mean, it was. I loved it first three episodes. Episode four is one of the most harrowing brilliant bits of telly I've watched in a long time.
Was it about the one where he got molested or something?
Well, it's, so that was, so he did two shows. He did the show that he won the Edinburgh Comedy Award
that,
for.
I didn't mean that in a funny way. Being, yeah, I almost laughed
about
when I
him being sexually assaulted. No, he made me laugh while I was saying it. Fucking hell.
When he got bummed, was that that one? Yeah.
That was the show that won the award. But then a couple of years later, he came back with Baby Reindeer.
Most people who get bummed keep it shtum. He does a show.
Oh, God. Watch the series. It's really, it's brilliant.
No, it's supposed to be good.
It's dealt with in such an amazing way. It's really, really.
It's about him being stalked, isn't it? Having a stalker.
Yeah. A proper stalker for like fucking. It looks, I know, obviously, but having a stalker looks really shit, you know. But I think a little part of you thinks, oh, it must be quite nice.
Depends how relentless they are. Like,
you know.
How does it look shit?
It is purely relentless. Like, you know, it's that thing of constant, she's outside his house all the time. She's emailing him like 300 times a day. You know, that sort of level of stalker. You know, I think if you had a sort of stalker, like, yeah, no, you definitely would go out of her for about 4 years.
I'd have three kids by now. She'd have a restraining order on me.
That's what you just flip reverse it.
The stalkie becomes the stalker. Why weren't you outside my house tonight? I'm round her house, snagging her. I didn't see you.
But yeah, like it look, I imagine, like, and again, this is bullshit, but like if you first get a stalker, I reckon there's a little part of you feels a little bit like your ego gets fluffed. And I mean, he even actually covers that in the thing that initially the attention is quite you know, sort of alluring, but then ultimately
it must be quite grueling though, yeah, like drawing your curtains at night, like, you know, it's I get spooked out in the night anyway, let alone if I thought someone was like,
it's about, you know, privacy in a cupboard as well, or, isn't it? I often find it invasive with somebody just sends me a DM on like Instagram. I'm like, oh,
sorry about that,
leave me alone, do you know what I mean? Like,
but like the drawing your curtains isn't the worst thing about having a stalker though, Julian.
Yeah.
Well, if you're Julian who likes to wank with the curtains open, it is actually a problem.
My stalker would see a lot of me very easily. My door's always on a jar.
But, yeah,
no, the worst thing would be like if, you know, if they were going to kind of get him, you know, like your family or,
well,
you know,
it.
It's like, what was it? What was the film again? The Bunny Boiler one?
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, that was pretty hardcore, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nice sex scene at the beginning, though. I wouldn't mind that journey just for that.
Yeah, but that is that's the story. There is, you bring it on yourself. Like he basically has it off with somebody, and then, you know, he's a married man, and he sort of casts her to one side, and she's, you know, she turns into that person. Like that's that's slightly different. Somebody just stalking you out of the blue, essentially. I think, I don't know why I'm defending stalkers here. Like I've got it back. Yeah.
It's different though. It is different if you have sex with someone and they stalk you, and then if they stalk you out of the blue, that is different.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's more flattering if you had sex with them because it's like, man, I'm pretty good. You know what I mean? I'll take that as a W. That's in the win column, mate. Ain't my fault.
Oh God.
But it must be scary because it's a mental health issue on their part, isn't it? And it's like, where's their boundary? Where does it, you know, like they've got a complete obsession with you.
I mean, I don't reckon anyone who's mentally 100% sound is gonna be a stalker.
You know, like it's like a mental obsession, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't do it myself. I don't know how you guys feel.
What, stalk somebody?
Yeah, like proper stalking, not pursuing someone. If you're single and you pursue somebody, that is
what
one
you
thing.
Run through a park after someone.
I'm talking about.
I mean, that's
stalking.
Fine.
I don't know. I couldn't do it myself. Is all I'm saying. Let's forget about it.
Your hours are dictated to by someone else, though, aren't they?
Oh, what, when you're a stalker? You mean it's more about...
Yeah, you've got to get up really early and then you're up.
Sometimes... Depends on their work schedule and stuff, doesn't it?
True.
Yeah, sometimes it's like a 14-hour day. It's long. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't live anywhere near them.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a nightmare. I know.
You'd have to move closer or, like, camp outside or something.
Just commute. But, like, then you're getting up at like, 5 in the morning.
I know. Writing down their little itinerary.
Yeah, fuck that.
It's more trouble than it's worth for a lot of people.
I think so.
I might give it a go.
Yeah, you do it, mate. Report back. Let's do some questions. Joe has asked, can you ask Nick if you did a run through of what you were going to do with Susie Dent on Cats? Those segments were hilarious.
What's the question?
Did you have a run through before with Susie Dent about what you did on Cats? Oh,
no.
Just riffed it, mate. No. Pure in the moment riffing.
You ever run through by yourself? Like, you get there in the day and then you've written a song and. Yeah. And then you're in the studio and then you run it all. And then when you do it, like, Susie Dent's not seen it yet. So, like, her reactions are all real. But, like, I've obviously written it and I've run with it. But, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like, you know, I think there's people that think all panel shows are just 100% improvised. And there's people that think all panel shows, everything is scripted. And it's almost like you've rehearsed it as a group, whereas the truth is right in the middle, isn't it? Like, you get some time to prep your bits, and then everyone else is hearing it for the first time. So yeah, that's that's sort of how it works.
Although, like, Dictionary Corner is slightly different because you're like an island unto yourself, and basically, you know, when you do 8 out of 10 Cats, basically what happens is everyone comes out, everyone's in their dressing room all day on their own. And then what happens is you all go down to the studio and everyone sits down and everyone's really stressed and nervous. And then what happens is they do the game start or like the show starts. And when everyone does their mascots at the beginning of the show, that takes about an hour. And then the game starts. And if you're in Dictionary Corner, you're not part of any of that. So you're just like, when I do it, I've got like a song to sing and you're basically just sat in front of a studio audience, in front of all the cameras, with all the lights, with all the other people. And you're like, I can't remember the fucking words to the song. Oh, and you can't talk to anyone. So you're basically sat there having like a panic attack while they're talking about their mascots. And then Jimmy will, like, after about an hour and a half, Jimmy will say, almost like you're not ready for it. And Jimmy will just say, and Nick, what have you got for us? And then you just got to go into like a song, nothing. And the audience don't know who you are. The audience don't give a shit about you. They're just like, who's that guy sat there? And then all of a sudden you're in charge of like the next 5 minutes of entertainment.
And so you don't get intro'd at the very top and have a little chat then?
Maybe he'll say, we got Nick. And then maybe you'll have like, maybe, I can't really remember. Maybe you like get a, like a line or two, but the way
but you don't have like a 2 minute chat.
No, you just sat there watching everyone else, you know, bounce with everyone, and then it's like, oh right, and then you're on, and then you've got to do a bit, and that happens like 3 or 4 times for a show. It's like really stressful. It's fucking stressful because everyone else is just chatting with their mates, and then you're like on your own, and you're not part of it all. Yeah, God, it's a fucking nightmare. Yeah.
sounds it.
That is, I mean, I've my experience of panel shows is much lesser, but a couple of times I did them, I found it like overwhelmingly stressful. Like, it's so outside my comfort zone of like, just what I love about doing comedies is being in control of it myself, being on stage, going on stage. It's all me and the audience. It lives and dies on what I do when I'm on stage. Whereas I, the moment I remember that, just there being other people sat next to me, the audience are there, there's cameras, there's editors, all that shit just got into my head. And I was like, none of this is up to me anymore. Like, almost, it's almost like I've got 10% of the control that I normally have. And I just struggled, man. I hated it so much.
Yeah. And then also it's sort of like when you're all being sat down and they're putting their mics on you, everyone's friends with each other. And then as soon as the show starts, it's sort of fucking lethal.
Yeah, man. Absolutely brutal. I remember like sitting next to, and this is not a dig at him at all, but like I remember I was on Hugh Dennis's team the first time I did Mock the Week, and like I thought, we're chatting beforehand, it's all nice, and then you start doing it. And I assumed when you're saying your funny answer, your teammates would just be looking at you and you'd be having a laugh. Ha, ha, ha. And I remember just doing like a joke and then just looking, and Hugh Dennis wasn't even listening, man. He was just reading his notes next to me. And I was like, oh God. Like, it's like I'm literally dying with the person sat next to me. I don't know how this is going to come across. But I struggled, man. It just, I couldn't get it out of my head. The people that are really good
Did
on
you have
cover
a lot of
shows.
preparation and stuff? What was that mock the week?
Yeah. Like you get given
Did you?
a day's notice to write stuff and that of like the topics and that, so it is topical. But like I
I've
think
written on it quite a lot, and like I've been there in the studio when it's being filmed, and I've always looked and thought, I don't know, it's something I just didn't.
I
I
think
don't
because there's a
know. I
way of
just.
the base that there's a the trick to doing it. I think is to just get do it. Just like don't think about it. Just say everything. Almost like it's almost like a
And be a
scattergun
killer
approach.
up
Do
there
all
as
your
well. Just
jokes
be
and like.
ready.
Just yeah, and just the people that don't let it get into their head that if this isn't funny, like or especially if you say something that doesn't get a massive laugh, the people that just go, oh, well, next one will probably work, and like they just keep doing it. Like whereas I'm on this,
Because they're going to edit it down, aren't they?
exactly.
Like,
Whereas if I did one thing and it didn't get a massive laugh in my head, I now spend the next 2.5 hours
You're
thinking, well, this is fucked,
bombing.
I'm shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I did, when I did 8 out of 10 cats, I did, because you get like three segments. And so I did a thing where I set up the third segment. So I did like a bit in the first one, a bit in the second one, and then third one paid off. And no one was laughing. And it was just like, of course not, because I've only done the setup. So then it's just like you're sitting there, and like Sean Locke was there, and he was like looking at you, waiting for this bit to be funny, and then it's not. And then you're just like, oh fuck, I've fucked this. I've done two segments where it's just set up, and then there's only a punchline in about 4 hours' time. So you're just sitting there, just like going, why have I done it like this? Why have I done it like this?
But
Everyone's looking at you,
it's
like.
brutal, man. I remember like, and I remember talking to people who did a lot of them and were really good at it. And like the way they talked about it was like it was a to it's a totally different beast to anything else. Like I won't say who they were, but I remember one act who did quite a lot of them saying to me, oh, mate, one trick, don't laugh at other people's stuff. He goes, because if you, unless you're really famous and like, he goes, if you laugh at other people's stuff, the editors will just, they'll just pick a clip of you laughing rather than pick a clip of you doing a bit. And he goes, so you won't get as much airtime. And I was like, what? How are you? I don't want to sit there and not laugh consciously because I'm
And
thinking
that's
about.
true.
And I was like, that's not how I live my life, essentially.
I thought they'd want the opposite, like they want you laughing because you have more screen time. And I would always find it hard to laugh if I didn't mean, like I didn't feel like it. You know what I mean?
I think it's good. I think, well, whenever Miles Chubb is on it, he always laughs at everyone. And then he always gets fuck. He's on it. I mean, he's clever like
He
that,
is. He's
laughing
quick as
at people's
anything as
jokes.
well, isn't he? Like, he's
Yeah,
so sharp,
but
Miles.
the real skill, the real mastermind in his head is that he laughs at other people's jokes, and then he's on like 90% of the show. He's good like that. He's good like that. They've always cut into him, just like, and he's enjoying himself. It's cool. So,
But yeah, there we go. Next question, let's do. How's about is this something, do you think calling a tour Farewell Tour could raise a profile and set the artist up for a lucrative comeback? I'm guessing this typically applies to musicians, but could the tactic be used by comedians? I think this was something that was discussed in, I saw it's being discussed on the group the other day, Julian, about like bands that have had really successful comebacks are the ones that do farewell tours, like Take That did a farewell tour, all these bands that have then come back 10 years later. Like it's almost like you've got to say that we're done forever. You can't just sort of just disappear
I don't
without
think they
making a
planned to
big
come
deal.
back, maybe though, did they? Like,
No, but as a comic, I don't know. Could you do a farewell tour? And I think you, I mean, it has
no.
been. I mean, it sort of has been done. Like, Hannah Gadsby did a whole show about quitting comedy that then became so successful it forged a whole new career for her. So it can be done as a comedian, can't it?
But that's sort of different, right? That's sort of, I think, like a farewell tour is when you're quitting at the top of your game. rather than
It's not just
being discovered yet.
I might do one
Then giving up
because
tour.
my career's taking a nosedive. I'm doing a farewell tour because I'm not
The
getting booked
universal
anymore.
credit next week tour.
And I think
The housing benefit tour.
I think that stand-up would be different, right? Because like if you do like a farewell tour, I went to see Kiss, right? I went to see Kiss do their farewell tour, and I went to see them at the O2 Arena, and it was their last. I think that was the end of the tour. It was their last gig, and it was like their last gig, and it was, or maybe it was the end of their UK leg, right? So it was their last gig in the UK at the O2 Arena. Went to see them. They had like baseball sort of t-shirts with the coloured sleeves, and they were 70 quid. And I was like, well, it's their last ever gig in the UK. I bought one. And then they did the show, they finished the show, and then the next day they announced that they were doing Download Festival, and they basically didn't, they did like they didn't even give it a week. Do you know what I mean? They started up again the next
Oh,
day.
man.
And the thing is, right, if you go and see a band and you're angry with the fact that they're still gigging after they retired, you just sort of like you just play the music louder, right? You block out all the booing. Whereas if you're a stand-up comedian, you say, I'm quitting, and then the next day you're kind of like, nah, do you know what? I'm back, baby. People will just turn up and they'll shout at you, they'll
True.
attack you, they'll boo you. Do you know what I mean? I
It's
think
more
part of
two-way, isn't it?
Yeah, I
Who
think it's
was
harder for a comedian because they're.
supporting Kiss when you saw them?
I didn't watch. I Do you know what? I didn't watch the support act. We actually we met Kiss. We did the meet and greet thing beforehand, and we were last in the queue. So like while the support act was on, I suppose we were all like queuing up to meet Kiss, and it was mental because like we were the very last. Me and my mate, we were the very last two. And then basically you queue up and they come along and they're all standing there with their platform boots and you get there and they put your arms around you and they take the photo. And because we were last, they were due on stage.
Oh,
So they
fucking
like did
hell.
the photo, it was just like flash, and then they were like, and then they just fucked off and they walked through a door, and then we went and sat down, and then they just walked on stage. So they literally walked from having a photo
Holy
with us
shit.
just directly on stage and they did the show. It was all right. I'm not really in.
Do you know, because I saw they were touring, I think it was Australia, and they were doing it wasn't even a double header tour, I think, but basically not support as such, but they were just touring with Weezer, which is one of the weirdest two-hander gigs I've ever seen listed.
That is weird.
That can't, like,
Like,
it doesn't sound like it. I can't work out how that came to be.
maybe they just double booked the venue.
Couldn't squeeze Weezer on, could you? But yeah, man.
No, dear, who we Weezer is.
You don't know who Weezer are?
No,
Like
I mean, I
seminal
kind of don't know
90s.
who Kiss are either. Like, I
Oh
know
my
that they're the bit. I
God.
know the sign, and like, I couldn't, if I saw them in the street, I wouldn't know them, though.
Well, a
Sure.
lot of people wouldn't because they often wore face paints, but like,
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
but
So nobody could see them. I might stalk them.
Naomi, here's a question from a Naomi. If you had to go into witness protection and adopt a new first and last name, what would you choose? Is there a name you've always secretly wished you had? I suppose. I mean, do you, I often is it is your is Nick Helm your real name, official birth name?
Well, I'm Nicholas, but yeah.
Do you ever
I wouldn't.
wish you had you'd picked a different name from
Yeah.
starting out? I always wish I'd picked a name.
Yeah, I do. I do, because then you just have, like, because I'm such an asshole on stage, it's like people just sort of, I was on stage, I was at the Soho Theatre, and then, and I came off stage, and then I was in the bar afterwards with my mum, and then you get people coming up to you going, "All right, you cunt," and you're like,
Then you find out they weren't even at the show.
weren't even at the joke. And they weren't even talking to me, they were talking to my mum. Yeah, I always think that I would have, yeah, I should have, if I was going to do it, I should have come up with a stage name, but I've never thought of one.
Well, yeah, and also when you're an open spot and that, why would you possibly think? It'd be
It'll
really
be a bit
arrogant.
arrogant.
It's 100%, yeah, to like get his name and register it with Equity or some shit. That's a real taking a punt there. Like you're backing yourself a bit too hard, I reckon.
What's your name? The amazing Ian.
Showbiz Stewart.
Yeah.
I never used to like my name, Julian, because my middle name is Francis, and like where I grew up, like it was a posh name, you know what I mean? So if someone asked my name, I'd sometimes say a different name, like Justin or something like that. I just didn't like my name because it was like posh, like on a council estate, you know what I mean? Or
Was
people say, is
that
that a
your
girl's
parents
name?
trying to
I think so.
fudge
I
the
mean, my
numbers a bit
mum,
and give you a name above your station?
I think so, yeah.
Well,
I think.
Julian and Francis are both kind of like separately, that's tough, but together, that's like impossible, isn't it?
Julian and Francis Dean.
Very feminine names.
All right, mate. And calm down, man. All right. But I think I overcompensated a bit by just being the naughtiest kid in the school. You know what I mean? Like, I just well overcompensated. Maybe it was a bit of that. I don't know.
I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of a name that I would have chosen, but yeah, I would definitely have
Julian,
liked
probably.
to. Julian
Why? Why?
Donovan.
What? But why would you have had a stage name, Carl?
Well, because I just think, when your name is your stage name, then all your social medias and that are just they're not separate. People just find you. I've just been like, I've had sort of I've had like long lost family members find me online because they saw me on a thing and like they went, oh, that's the name. And they've searched ancestry.com and found like my name on a thing and they've been like, oh, that's his name's that. And turns out we're like distant relatives and they've messaged me. I'm like, I don't want to be contacted by distant relatives. I don't want to be contacted by actual relatives. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be left alone.
By my mum.
Immediate family only is, and even then I'm probably gonna, let it ring out most times. But like, I just, yeah, I find it quite,
I've contacted
I don't
distant
like it.
relatives though.
Oh, you're
Like,
that
not
fucking
distant.
guy. You're the
I don't know. Like, I don't know why. I just like my cousin, who I kind of used to see a lot as a kid,
Oh, but that's
hadn't seen
fine.
him in
I'm
like
talking about people
20
that
years.
I've never had any contact with. Like, they've literally just found some family tree online because they're doing some research, and one arm of it has my side of it. And then they've just found me on Instagram because I'm on there with my actual name. And I find that really like, oh, I wish I'd just had a fucking stage name.
But they could have, they could do that on Facebook, right? That sort of like, what, why, what do they want from you?
Just, I don't
Free
know. People
tickets.
just like that stuff, innit? People love just like getting in touch with family. And don't get me wrong, I've actually like,
But that's nothing to
some of
do,
them
that could
I've
be
ended
nothing to do
up.
with stand up though, like that. They would have done that anyway.
But I want but one of them actually saw me on a TV
Even if you were
show
called
and they
Lily
were but
Savage.
one of them saw me on and one of them saw me on a TV show and had seen my name on some documents when they were trying to trace some family, and they
They're trying to
literally
clout
had my
chase.
name, that my name was one of the names they knew they were related to, and then they were watching Mock the Week, and a man popped on it called
They
Carl
want some of
Donnelly,
that
and they were
Mock the
like,
Week
hey,
coin.
I'm looking for a Carl Donnelly, and then they got in touch with me, and it was like, it's fine. Yeah, they were nice and everything. There's nothing, I'm not saying that, but like, I remember just finding it a little bit
Why do you hate them?
claustrophobic, the being people just being able to just talk to you under your
Mind
real
you,
name.
and also, but this is it a bad thing to say this? But like, when you
Is
got
it
a lot,
racist?
no, but like when you're live, when you're doing like live work, they know where you are and when you're there, and you can have that decision.
Especially if you owe them money.
No, but I
If
just
you
think
borrowed
it's
their cars 8 years ago.
but yeah, I think I would have liked a different name. That's in comedy. Let's do another
You
question.
could,
This one's
yeah.
much
You should
more
change your name now and just completely reinvent.
going to become a character act. I could do that. Here's this from Paul. Would you rather have vertical eyes or a horizontal ass? What does that even mean?
I'd sooner have a horizontal arse. But I mean, what do they mean, a horizontal arse?
I imagine an
arse holes around.
Yeah, but bum crack going across the cheeks rather than down the middle.
I'd sooner have that than eyeballs.
I don't think that one would be much of a problem. You know, it's inside trousers, isn't it? Vertical eyes would definitely
might have to
be
sit
more
sideways on
uncomfortable
the toilet.
For others.
Where are your eyebrows? Your eyebrows down the
probably
side.
On the sides, yeah.
Yeah, that looked weird, man.
If you were going to have eyebrows on the side. Like, if it was on the side, it would look like your eyes are in brackets, right?
Yeah.
Like, by the way, these are my eyes.
So you could have eyebrows either side of your nose like that.
Yeah,
so they're outwards.
So, like, it depends, really. I wouldn't really want that, but I'd be all right with that. I'd
I
prefer
also think your vision
eye.
Would be quite seriously affected if your eyes were vertical. So I think...
Do you think...
When you get used to it.
Oh, hang on, yeah. Oh, do they mean that? Do they mean they're like just one on top of the other?
Oh, one above the other.
Well, that'd be dreadful. I'd definitely.
I mean,
have
that'd be
horizontal.
Your life would
crack.
Be different.
No, you'd just have your head to one side, right, and then you'd be able to see normal.
No, but if they were this,
just
if your eyes were as they are now, but just slotted like there.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be
not
a
like
catastrophe.
That.
No, I reckon maybe. What if they're just. Yeah,
I mean, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? A sideways bum. You just have to sit on the toilet sideways or, like, take dick from the side.
I think you would, though. I think you'd just... Your bum crack is... Sorry, that just took a while to sink into my brain, that sentence you just said. But I think your bum crack doesn't matter. You're on a toilet. It's a hole and you're above it. I think you'd absolutely...
Yeah, but it's
fine.
The line, isn't it? Your bum cheek line is goes sideways.
Yeah, but...
It'd be like a little... You could keep stuff in it.
Little bum bag,
little oyster card.
I don't know. I absolutely would just. I'm not worried about the aesthetic of my ass. Do you know what I mean? I'm more worried about the aesthetic of my face.
Clearly,
than my
man.
Ass.
Sure.
You need to squat more, man. Everyone's talking about it.
Right, that's the end of this week's public episode. We hope you enjoyed it. What happens now, Julian?
They can, if they want to hear the rest of the episode, they can go over to patreon.com/weartvi.
There you go. Once you've signed up there, you can hear the rest of the episode. You can hear all the old Patreon episodes, exclusives, whatever.
It's 45p a week.
Is it? Mm. That's cool. Mm. I didn't know that.
Easy life.
There we go. It's even cheaper than I thought. So do that. But if not, don't worry. You can listen to next week's public episode when it's released. Thanks.
Thank you. Love you.
We're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're.
Oh,
I'm doing it.
You know.
Oh, I think you're. I'm right, bro.